road to the Principality this week. Welcome to the Welsh Rugby Union podcast. '33 Cup Finals over 10 days at the Principality Stadium. All levels of the game, teams from all around Wales. Welsh journalist Rob Cole has been following the matches and talking to the protagonists. So it's a chance to find out much more from him. So Rob, a big weekend of Road to the Principality. It's been ongoing for a while, but this weekend is a particularly big weekend. Just give us an indication of the matches that are going on at the stadium.
Road to Principality 24 is in the thick of the action at the moment, and we've got seven club finals, senior club finals this weekend. Four on the Saturday, three on the Sunday. What used to be the old WRU Challenge Cup trophy is in the Premiership Cup now, and we've got Merthyr taking on Llandovery. Can Llandovery do a league and cup double? Both teams have won the cup recently, Merthyr in 2018, and Llandovery have won it twice before that. So that's going to be a fascinating game. Merthyr having 36-year-old Craig Locke coming into his eighth final. We believe that's the record, equaling his former Pontypridd teammate, who was his best man, David Lockyer. He wants to make sure that they have a win to take them into what will be the new championship table next year, because they're opting out of the new EDC. So that's going to be a fascinating game, and Merthyr will be underdogs, but don't write them off. Llandovery, beaten only for the second time this season, last week by Newport. They've lost to Newport, they've lost to Ebervale, both on the road, but still there and thereabouts at the top of the table. One more win will get them a home draw in the league semi-final playoffs. But Iris Evans, their coach, wants this one. He wants to win the cup again.
So you've won the cup twice before. What were the celebrations like on those two occasions? You might not have been at the first one, but certainly you were at the half of the second.
No, that was not the first one, but I remember seeing it. Real big cup upset, wasn't it, against Cardiff? So that was a special day for the club. Obviously, the second one against some local rivals, Commander Quinns, wasn't a glorious game, but nevertheless, I guess on the day, so getting the result, and we won, and we enjoyed the night.
And you've got a real taste for titles now, haven't you, after winning the Premiership for the first time last year?
Yeah, exactly that. You know, this group is quite settled, and they've got big aspirations, and they're looking to achieve big things this year. But also straight into the cup final next week, and really excited about that.
Now, you've got a good blend here of youth and experience. A couple of boys in the Wales under 20 squad, and then going up to Adam Warren, ex-international, who's come back to the club. I mean, is that the sort of mix you feel you need?
100%. I think young players learn lots more on the field, surrounded by some experience as well. So I think getting that mix right is critical for player development.
And at the younger age, Max Page gave Donald Bean in the 20s, and we saw Max do some good things in the under 26 Nations.
Yeah, 100%, you know, player full of potential. Jack Davis are cutting through now, Kean Abraham, Harry Thomas, Josh Moss, all these players will benefit massively of being part of a good established experience group.
And of course, you have first dibs on a lot of these, don't you? Being director of rugby at College Cigar and being heavily involved with the Scarlets under-18s. Is there a line in the contract you signed with them also that they have to come to Llandovery?
Well, it does help. I'm sure Commander Quinns have got something to say about that. But no, you know, we've been working quite closely for a long time in the Scarlets region. Fortunately, you know, Llandovery do benefit from that.
Talk us through the cup final that you coached the team to. What was the day like, and how did the town respond?
The town, you know, we haven't got many chimney pots up there, but when we get to a final, they come out in their drawers, and there's lots of noise there, a lot of expectation. And on the day, like I say, it wasn't a classic, and I think Wyn Jones managed to sneak one over for us, and Davy who's come off the bench on that day. And so it's nice to see players like that play their part in those big games for the town, and then obviously move on to bigger and better things.
And that's the thing, isn't it? You've produced Welsh internationals. You also helped produce an Irish international, the British Lions.
Yeah, you know, I said that partnership with Scarlets, and Ty came up and was part of us for a short period, but quickly showed the quality he had, and he moved on, you know. But that's what you know, this competition is all about, is producing players for the next level, but also, you know, supporters and fans are really desperate to be competitive in a structured season where winning matters.
So that's the showpiece game on Sunday. Before that, we have the Championship final, and before that, the Division 1 Cup final. Division 1 is Llanelli Wanderers against Glenith. Llanelli Wanderers doing very well in Division 1 West. Glenheath in the promotion hunt in Division 1 West Central. I don't think there's going to be anyone left in Glenheath. They've got 16 busloads of fans coming down. The only thing that's going to be left in Glenheath is the Max Boyce statue, because Max Boyce is president of the club as well as being the groundsman, and he's going to be leading the charge. And there he was a few weeks ago, singing in front of the crowd some new verses in his hymns and arias. So he'll be leading from the front, and it's going to be noisy. The Nettling Wanderers have got 9 buses coming, and this is what's happened over the last few years. By making it a divisional tournament rather than just having the old cup, bowl and plate, everybody gets a chance at their own level to get a day out at the stadium. They really are reacting as clubs and as fans, and it's a huge day out. I think they sold 4 buses in 24 hours for Bliner, who are in the Division 3 final. There are 12 buses coming from other clubs. And so the fans have bought into it, as well as the clubs, and the players love it. Then we have the Championship final, which is Bargoed, who were beaten 2 years ago in the final by Neath, playing Ystrad Rhondda, who lost last year to Pontypool. So they're going to be wanting to make the most of their opportunities. Bargoed also going for a League and Cup double, doing very well in the Championship. So that's going to be a fascinating battle. That comes on the Sunday. On the Saturday, we've got 4 games. Division 5, Division 4, Division 3, Division 2. And starting at the bottom at Division 5, we've got Dinis Powys, one of only 8 teams unbeaten in the league's structure this season, looking to have a great day out and take that cup back with them. They're playing Seven Sisters. Now, both these teams have come down the leagues under their own steam. They decided they couldn't compete where they were. They were falling away. So they asked to come down. They've started at the bottom. Seven Sisters now are bidding for promotion in their second season in Division 5 West Central, whereas Dinis Powys are flying in Division 5, having come down from 1 East Central. They've rebuilt on the back of a lot of young boys, and they're hoping to have something to celebrate. Seven Sisters, of course, have got one of the great names of the recent past in regional rugby, in Tavis Noyle. So he's only 33, but, you know, he's been through every region. He's been to Merthyr, and now he's really gone back to his roots. Why Seven Sisters? I asked him. He said, well, it's quite simple. My wife used to live across the road, and her brother, one of my best mates, is captain. And he told me, in fact, he threatened me, that if I didn't come back and play for Seven Sisters when I finished being a professional, there would be trouble. In fact, it goes back even further. He said he wouldn't allow me to marry his sister. So I feel a bit honour bound. He's captain. He's playing in the centre. And I'm going to fill in at scrum half. And I'm absolutely loving it, he said. I said, well, when was the last time you played at Principality Stadium? Well, I got my first cap there against Argentina in a World Cup warm-up. And then got a trip to the World Cup, which was great. And I can still remember, he said, my first time there. I was in the Wales under-20 squad. We went there to train with the senior team, and I was working with the coal board at the time, and I'm lying on my back after doing some exercises, looking up through the roof, seeing the sky and thinking, this is a wonderful way to earn a living. And he did earn a good living playing around the place, also played in Gloucester. So he's going to roll back the years and hopefully roll back the memories and see if he can help them there. So you've got Seven Sisters, you've got Glenheath, and of course in the Division 4 final, we've got Tonner, just 10 miles down the road from both of those. They're coming back 2 years after winning the WRU Shield, and they've got another ex-Welsh international in their side, in Craig Mitchell. Now, we all remember Craig being a rough, tough and hard-to-bluff prop for the Ospreys and for Wales. He's converted himself into a back-row forward. Now, he's 37 or 38 now, and he's loving it, and Tonner are top of the table. They just beat South Gower last week to avenge their only defeat of the season. So they've very much got a League and Cup double in mind and hoping that they can go there and do that. And of course, Craig played twice for Neath in the old WRU Challenge Cup finals. So he's back for a fourth time.
And who are they up against?
Well, they're playing Newport Saracens, who were also vying for a League and Cup double in the East Division, having another great season. And 4 of their players played for Monmouthshire in another final in the Road to Principality series last week when they beat the when they beat Mid District in the Welsh Inter Districts Cup. So they'll have had a bit of a taste of what's to come, and they're turning the game into a tribute to one of their former players who tragically died earlier in the season. And so that's going to be an emotional occasion for them, and that's going to be a fascinating game.
And they're moving up to the
Yeah, so in Division 3 we have Ballina against Cardiff Quins. Cardiff Quins have had teams all across this year's Rhoda Principality. They had two girls teams in the Hub final day. They had a team that won the youth plate as well, and now the seniors have got to come along. And that's going to be a great day for them. Well, we tied them if they go back to the club without some silverware, because two of the teams have already won. They're bidding for promotion in East Central, and they're based a lot on the Welsh-speaking schools in Cardiff, Plasmower and Glantaf, and they've got a very young team, once again, average age 23. And they're coming up against Blina, who have had Di Langdon, the old Wales under 20, Neath Ebervale, and former Dragons Academy player, Pontypool last year. So he's coming back to the Principality Stadium, having played in the last two Championship Cup finals. He helped Neath win 2 years ago, and last year he helped Pontypool win it. So he doesn't want to lose his hat trick, and so that's going to be quite some occasion. Great name, Blina, in Welsh rugby history. They're 150 years old next season, so it'll be great to see how they go. And then you come to the top game on Saturday, which is Division 2, and that is Porthcawl against Llanharan. Porthcawl, of course, now synonymous with the current Welsh captain, David Jenkins, and there are some players playing in the Porthcawl team now who were playing with him through the age ranks years ago. Interestingly, Ryan Bevington, the old Ospreys and Wales prop, was coaching at Porthcawl, along with Tom Pridey, who came back at the start of the season. So they've both come back to their roots, and they're helping out. Not sure if we're going to see Tom playing, but it's a possibility. Llanharan, another one of the eight teams who are unbeaten this season, 17 out of 17 in Division 3 Central, and they beat Penarth, one of their closest rivals for the title, in the semi-final to get there. They're back once again, having won the WRU Bowl two seasons ago. And great to see one of the big names of their locality coming back up the ranks, having fallen from Division 1 right down to Division 5. So you can have a rebirth if you go back to the core values of the game. And that's certainly what they've done.
It's interesting. A lot of these teams have fallen down and have rebuilt on local young talent.
Well, it's like the pathway into the Wales team or into the regions. Every local club has to find a catchment area and has to serve their younger players. They have to bring the players through from their minis into their juniors, into their youth and into the senior side. And that's the recipe for success. When they played in the final 2 years ago, there were cousins, Yian and Carl Pring, playing. Yian had been captain of the Colleague Camoyth team, hadn't got a professional contract, but played for his local club and went to the final, coming to another final now, has a battle with his cousin on who scores the most tries. They went to the final 2 years ago and they both scored two tries. So that was an interesting aspect to that. And, you know, it's a great village club and they're back on a firm footing. That's the key thing.
And the road to the Principality isn't just about these events this weekend. It's been going on for a while and it's thrown up quite a lot of nice stories along the way, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, these are the flagship events for the senior clubs and the senior teams. And these are the ones that'll get lots of people coming to them. And it'll be raucous, it'll be a great day out, and it'll be a real feather in each club's caps if they can win it. But it goes all the way down to under 12 girls, under 11 boys, and comes all the way up through the age groups. So the new First Minister, Vaughan Gething, came to the Diversity Day, and there was a mixed ability game, there was a gay rugby international. So it does cover the whole gamut of rugby, both male, female, and mixed ability. So it's a great investment by the union into every aspect of the game, which shows that is now very inclusive. Not that it hasn't been in recent years, but Spotlight's been on for different reasons, and here we are. It's all there for you. And watching some of the junior boys and girls playing has been fascinating. You know, you look at what Ewan Cunningham has done with his professional players, and having watched this event over a couple of years now, the quality, the standard, and the numbers in the women's game in particular are just growing and growing. And what you're watching on the field is light years ahead, standard-wise, to what it had been before. It's no longer just give it to the biggest girl or the fastest girl and they'll run through people. There's real intensity, there's real tactics, and there's a real love of the game. And interestingly, speaking to all these young girls from 12 up to 18, the fact that they've been able to see the Welsh team fully professionalised and competing at a World Cup and competing at WXV at the top table has really inspired them. Erin Jones, who was player of the match in the under-16s, talking about, I'd love to be a professional player. Now, that wasn't being talked about a few years ago. And by the way, she's got the quality to go all the way as a number eight. She's got two tries for Brodineva and won. And her brother went the next day and unfortunately lost. So she had real bragging rights in the family and in the school for that. And had probably the greatest story of the whole younger age groups was Ysgol Godre Berwyn from Bala, brought down by Iris Jones, the WRU hub officer up there, who's done a magnificent job over the last decade to particularly develop women's rugby. And they had teams in the under-12, under-14, under-16 and under-18 finals. And it was magnificent to see so many girls coming to play. There are only 340 pupils in the secondary school in Bala, but he's done so much good work in all the primary schools that they all come to school and they all want to play. So, for instance, they had a squad of 24 players at under-12s, 20 at under-14, and at under-16, they had another 20. So when it comes to the under-18s team in the sixth form, there are only 24 girls in the sixth form in the school, yet 14 of them play rugby, and two of them are in the Wales under-18 squad. Now, there is the sort of return you want from the investment you're making in your hub officers and the impact that rugby has made. And let's be fair, you'd have thought Bala would have been a real football stronghold. But they went through each game and they didn't win. They didn't win. They didn't win. Then they drew in the final game. I think it was 18 all, and it was a last minute kick from Neetha Patalbhit College to draw it, which was heartbreaking. But as Ira said before, they made the long trek from up north. It's not about the results. It's about the experience and the participation and the enjoyment all these girls get. In the squads there were two daughters of a former Wales international, Lowrie Blaine. She was Lowrie Davis, does part of the coaching as well. And the pride that she took in seeing these girls that she helps to coach and her two daughters who were very fine players playing was just immense.
You were probably the proudest mother in Wales today.
I'm very proud of all the girls and of Annie, of course. She scored a hat-trick, I think.
Yes, she
it
did.
It was a pretty close game at the end there, but I'm very proud of the girls. They played well, and it was a big occasion for them coming down here with the other three teams also qualifying as well. It was a big trip on the bus starting at 6 o'clock this morning, so we're very proud of them. They gave it their all.
Now, speaking of IROS yesterday, rugby for girls seems to be very well organised in your part of the world.
We're very lucky that we've got IROS for the last 10 years as a hard-working rugby officer. We also have Gwylliaid Meirionnydd, the girls' hub based in Bala, that serves the old county of Meirionnydd, including Dolgellau, Llanfairsyniog, and all the way that over to the sea. And we have under-10s up to under-18s. The under-18s are in the hub's final as well, so we have a lot of girls. We have over 100 girls training on a Tuesday in Bala, and we're very fortunate that we've got committed volunteers and coaches that give up their time But as an under-12s coach, it's essential for me. The girls arrive at under-12s having already got the basic skills because Eros has been in the schools with them, primary schools.
All a bit different from when you were playing as a kid.
Yes. I played in the Arms Park for Wales a couple of times in 2003, 2005, but I'm overwhelmed my daughters having the chance to play here today.
Yes. When would you have started playing rugby?
We had a religious education teacher who was also a minister, and he agreed to coach us when I was about 13. So I played a couple of years then, and then we started a team in Bala when I was 17. I captained them for a couple of years before going to Aberystwyth University, where I played for 3 years, and then back to Bala, and I was seen then play for North Wales. I went on to play Wales Development in Wales then.
So what's the most exciting thing for you now, seeing your girls come through? Is it the pathway, or is it the fact they've started so young?
I think starting young, it makes you a little bit jealous almost that we didn't have that opportunity, that there was no structure in place when we were young to give the girls the opportunity to play together at that age. Lots of girls play mixed rugby, but a lot of girls want to play just girls only rugby at that age, particularly in the sort of under-12s age group. And also knowing that there's a job at the end of it these days. Professional sport now, we've got girls from North Wales who are already succeeding. Gwen Cleanne Pierce, there's a lot of girls in the squad. So it's good to see that from the bottom upwards, we're building a pathway for young girls now, which is essential. There were patchy pathways over the years, and I followed that in my time. But it's heartening to know that my girls now at 12 and 13 have a pathway in front of them, and if they want to and they're good enough, they could play for Wales, and that could be their job.
So in a couple of years' time, you'll have to stop being mum and be a real hard coach.
Well, I don't know if I can cope after today. I've got my eldest daughter in the under 14s now. So yes, the heart rate is well up today. My husband's driving on the way home at least.
Yes. Just the whole experience of getting on the bus together today, coming to a place like this,
fantastic.
Running down that tunnel. Yeah.
It's a lifetime memory for them, and we've impressed upon them. You know, I had two nieces playing today as well, Marlon Roberts and Blodwen Jones. There was three cousins on the pitch together, and we've told them this may never happen again. Whatever the result, enjoy today for what it is. A fantastic occasion for you individually, and a fantastic occasion for the school.
Yeah. So, in your playing days then?
2003, 2005 was my era. But no, we played in the Arms Park. We sort of, you know, played all over the place then with them. And South Africa as well. I think we were still the only team to win a series in South Africa. So that was 2004, showing my age.
So you talked about your children, obviously, and what's going on in the hub and everything. But what do you see about the way that women's rugby is exploding and the fact we've now got professional players? Did you think that would ever happen?
You hoped it would, and I think the quality of players that Wales have had over the years, it's been a huge shame that professionalism wasn't brought in sooner, because we've had some world-class players, but they just didn't have the support. You know, take for example the girls I played with, Ellen Evans played for years in Wales. Ellen and I shared a cadre of the 8th or 70 for a couple of years, and she continued on and off, but you know, a world-class player, but was leaving work at 5 to train in Cardiff at 9. You know, it just wasn't sustainable. So to see the talent that we've got now be given a fair chance, I think, is a fair crack of the whip for them to compete against the best in the world. Yes, the scores have been high against England recently, but they're catching up. Physically, they are catching up. And, you know, it's that last 20 minutes of the game maybe where their fitness comes through. But I'm sure that give a couple more years, and with the talent that was seen in the Celtic Challenge, especially the under-18s girls, the under-20s girls, there's a good talent base underneath the more senior players now. Where we haven't had depth previously, I think we're now building depth as well.
But it surely needs more people, as with the primary schools and the secondary school in Bala, and more people like Eros to do this.
It definitely, a community rugby is the basis of it all, isn't it? And so in Bala we're very lucky, and there's some very, in North Wales as a whole, we've got some really busy volunteers in women's rugby who are passionate about it, want to make sure the girls succeed and have opportunities. We are far away. I travel, you know, up and down the A470 more times than I'd like to remember. But you do it because you're passionate, you want to play for your country. But sometimes, you know, life, finances takes priority if you're unable to make it as a profession. So we're fortunate, really, that things are on the up now.
So can you see a day when maybe Emmy, George and your daughter Annie play together in a Welsh team?
Hopefully, yes. Hopefully, you can see the girls who have maybe played mixed rugby as well. They've just got that extra edge at this stage. But the others will catch up. You know, there's plenty of time for others to sort of get to the level where they're sort of shining.
Well, you've just got enough time to calm down a little bit, have a cup of tea, and then it'll be all go again for your other daughter.
Yes. So
thank you.
No problem at all.
Much appreciated.
We're beginning to see the impact of Iris Jones in North Wales, but Sianed Harris, who's just retired from her own international career, you know, someone else who's making an impact and taking young teams through her school, through her teaching to the Principality Stadium.
Indeed. I mean, last year when she was still playing and she was involved in the Women's Six Nations, they played France and then they had to go and play Italy and the squad stayed there. But she flew back because her under-12s team from Ysgol Gymraeg Brodyr were in the final. So there she was on the telly on the Saturday and then back in the stadium with her girls, and unfortunately they lost. Anyway, she's back as a full-time teacher now, having retired after one of the great careers in Welsh women's history. And her under-14s were there. I think 9 of the under-12s had graduated a year early into this team. And they had a great final against one of the Ysgol Godre Berwyn sides. And she was so delighted. Not that her team had won to eradicate the defeat last year, but that they'd performed so well.
It's a bit of a different feeling to last year.
It's a better feeling than last year, yeah.
I mean, you flowed all that way, and, well, it wouldn't have been a disappointment, but they didn't let themselves down, but last year was tough. But this year, new team, but wow, there's some talent there.
Oh, yeah, amazing talent, I've got to be honest. And if I'm on, I've had to thank Neath Panthers, the hub club there, because they do great things with the girls outside of school. I'm just fortunate that they come to Brodyr, really. But some of the girls in this team this year now were in our team last year, so they know how it felt last year. Yes. And they obviously don't feel that way again, but I couldn't have asked more from them today.
So how many have you got, girls you've got playing in the school at the moment? Right? How many teams have you got?
Well, I've got a team in each age grade, really. So year 7, have about 20, 30 turning up, obviously, today. There's girls in year 10 and year 11 as well. Probably don't play as regular because of that, the age that they're at and what's available to them, but there's a team in every year almost.
And incredible thing, it's exactly the same at Godre Berwyn, who are here for 4 games. I mean, there seem to be pockets around the country that are growing.
Yeah, I don't know what's in the water in the Bala, because there's 4 of them coming down here, and they gave us a great game. And we, in the changing rooms beforehand, we watched the year 7 team as well. So, you know, and for them, it's tough for them travelling all that way early in the morning, but to have 4 teams down here in each age category, I think that's fantastic.
So what's easier, being out there playing or standing on? Have we heard a lot from you?
Playing, 100% playing. God, it's aged me. It's aged me, that has. It's like nothing's in your control and you can't influence anything on the pitch. So, yeah.
But hopefully there's a few people here who will carry on and go through and, you know, maybe get some honours later on as well.
I hope so. I really do hope so. And the only thing I'm worrying about, I'll be honest with you, what do I tell these girls in a couple of years' time, so 4 years' time? Do I tell them go to England to play if you want to play for Wales? Do you mean I hope by then, by the time they are able to aspire to play for Wales, I hope that there'll be better infrastructure in the grassroots game, that there'll be a female club that they can aspire to play in Wales, because, like you see, there's such talent here, and not just in my school, in the other schools here as well. So it'll be a shame if we just lose touch with them as they get older.
Well, there's a Celtic Challenge review meeting going on in this very stadium today.
Oh, great!
And I'm sure that, you know, we saw one team come to 2 and maybe 2 going to 4.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the lifeline, the pipeline for these girls.
Yeah, definitely. I really, really do hope so, because these girls here now, do you mean they could easily say they want to be a professional rugby player? I couldn't do that at their age.
No.
So, and I think you could see by the performance of some individuals, that's really what they want to do. Yeah. And I think they were hoping that a few people were watching here today, if I'm honest. So good for them.
Good for them.
They deserve it.
Well done. Thank you.
And in their captain and outside half, Isabel Thomas. What a player in the making.
They sort of chopped you down to begin with, didn't they? There wasn't much space there, but you found some in the end.
Yeah.
And you had a couple of great gallops.
Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, the first one was from 60 metres, the next one from 80.
Thanks.
Are you a bit of an athlete yourself?
Yeah, I do multiple sports. I do football, cross country. I love my sports. I've been playing rugby since I was 4 or 5.
At Bather?
No, Lantret.
Lantret, oh dear, I forgot the close rivalry, yes. What was it like playing here?
It was amazing, like the pitch, really nice. It's definitely an upgrade to what I normally play on.
Indeed. Half time, you look very comfortable. Second half, you got a bit tight.
Yeah, they scored a try. It was a bit upsetting, but then we had a chat about like organisation and stuff and passing it out. And then
you got your hat-trick.
Yeah.
And being player of the match, that's a fantastic achievement. You must be pleased with that.
Yeah, I'm really happy.
And on the wing, they had Amy, who's one of the quickest girls in Wales for her age. a wonderful centre related to Eli Walker, and they were phenomenal. And what a load of talent coming through, all based around the hub at Neath Panthers. So great work going on there, and there's talent available for Johan Cunningham in a few years' time.
And on the men's side, we're beginning to see the children of some internationals coming through as well.
Yeah, well, the showpiece game in the boys' under-18 finals was Maese Gwendraeth against Strade. So Ysgol Strade were the champions from last year, and they'd won the league again this year. They'd won the Champion of Champions Cups. They'd beaten Maese Gwendraeth twice, but not on this occasion. Oh, Maese Gwendraeth were fantastic. So sitting up watching all of this was Rupert Moon, very nervously, as his young son Jack was there.
Right, that's quite a turnaround. They beat you twice before you came here. Yeah. How was it?
Tough game, yeah. We came here expecting a hard game. I thought the boys played outstanding. We really came after them in defence and attack. I thought we played the game like we wanted to play.
Yeah. And what does it mean to come and play here? You've played here once before, haven't you?
No, this is the first time we've been playing here. But I've been here as a kid, obviously, with my father. And it's just so surreal being here. At the start of the season, we just never thought it would lead to this. I'm just so proud of the boys.
Yeah. So how did you attack it sort of mentally, Jack, coming here, having lost to your big rivals?
Well, I think we took our wins coming into the cup well, and I just thought we played the game how we wanted to play, and mentally we just needed to get the boys up and ready for it, and that's it really.
Yeah. Where did your service come from? Because your father never passed like that.
No, my father keeps saying that my service is much better than his, and it's just me and him working in the garden or working in the local pitch, and I really pride myself on a good pass.
Yeah. You've been together with Gareth Potter's son for quite some time now, haven't you?
Yeah, throughout the whole school year, me and him and a couple of other boys working throughout the whole year, and I think we've worked well together.
Yeah, and this coming on top of the Scarlets winning the under-18s, you're having a good season.
Yeah, not too bad.
Yeah. What's next on the agenda?
A good post-season, again, keep working toward it, it doesn't end here, going on to uni, doing stuff like that, but this is a big win for the school, and we're going to be proud of it.
Well done, you.
Thank you, sir.
David Jones, the old Llechlie Scarlets and Wales flanker's son, Jack Jones, was in the centre, scored a try. So they came off as winners, and it was a great example of how the stadium can inspire people to rise to levels they hadn't been at before. You know, Strade had Keanu Evans, who's playing in the under-18 Six Nations tournament with Wales at the moment, on their bench, and he was allowed to come on to play a little bit. And they threw the kitchen sink at Maese Gwendraeth, but they defended with their hearts like lions. It was terrific. And the interesting thing that both they and some of the other boys at the under-18 level were saying, this is the most wonderful way to finish 7 years in school. All these players had grown up together. They'd played through all the age groups. And what a way to cap it off. They're not going to play another game of rugby together in their schools. And this was a very, very special occasion for them.
And also, going on, Daniel Jones, the old Wales lock.
Yeah, so in the senior schools under-18 VARS final, it was a similar thing. What a way, twin brothers Oshin and Steph Jones, to complete their rugby career at school and do it at a place where their father, Daniel Jones, had played for both club and country. They were delighted at the victory for Bromerthyn, and we caught up with his dad afterwards, who he was pleased as punch.
What a day for the family.
Yeah, it's been special. A bit different, really.
Yes.
Just sat here supporting the boys, and it's been brilliant, you know. Thought the team played really well. They looked really nervous to start with.
Yes.
You know, as the stadium can do too. And they settled down well, and the second half was really good, and so proud of us.
Yeah. It showed great character to do what they did to come back.
Oh, they did, yeah. To be fair to Brodin Airport, you know, they looked really dangerous in that first half, and they scored a couple of really nice tries. But I think that try just before half time gave the boys the confidence, and they did look a different team in the second half. They look back at the team that's made it all the way to the final playing good rugby, and it's so tough for them, really. It did take quite a bit of character at the end.
It did, and I thought the long-range penalty had gone over.
And then that little bit of luck, and then we thought he'd scored the try, but then they get ahead, and you only need to win by a point.
Well, that's the thing, and you know, for so long then, after they conceded that try in the second half, it was like, oh, they're not going to do it, not going to do it. But character and, you know, credit to all involved. Brilliant day for all.
Yeah. What's it like knowing what it's like playing down there to see your two sons doing it?
Not nice. No, it's, you know, massively proud, but I
you're not in control, are you?
You've got zero control, and the boys have worked hard, and there's a good side there, but you know, it's a cup final for them, and they can go either way, and luckily today it went well for the boys.
Yeah. What were they like this morning? What did they have for breakfast?
They had their usual porridge for breakfast, but I know they had shirt presentations in school. They brought some of the former pupils back. You know, Jack Price and Eddie James were there presenting the jerseys. You know, the school had built it up to a big occasion, and thankfully the boys delivered on the pitch.
Daniel, it is a big occasion for them, isn't it? And the fact that they open this great place up for so many schools is remarkable. There aren't many unions do that.
No, not at all. And you know, this, the road to the principality, the whole thing, it's a great venture. And it's you speak to community clubs at all levels, you know, junior levels upwards. Youth teams are playing here. You know, you've got Brumadvin, to be fair, the under-14s I think are back here, year 9 are back here tomorrow, so fingers crossed for them. But it's just a great prize for everyone to aim towards. And yeah, it's a special occasion for all.
Yeah. So is there a bit of space on the family mantelpiece for a winner's medal now?
Well, there's plenty of space. I didn't get too many winner's medals, so yeah, they'll be fine to place for the boys.
Yeah, great. And where do they go on to now? Are they off to university, or are they going to stay and work and play locally still?
They are studying hard for the A-levels now, so pending those results, hopefully they'll both be off to uni to further their studies.
Among the other famous fathers there, well, water carriers, actually. I mean, he might have helped Ireland win the Six Nations again, but Simon Easterby was on the touchline for Brómo Gannaig as their son captained the side, Freddie, to a victory. And then Matthew Robinson, the old speedy wing, was there on the touchline carrying the water with his son playing in the DC Thomas final for Newport, unfortunately not winning. But what a talent he looks. Cool. Step, tackle, speed, everything. So we'll see how those two develop as the years go on.
And then after this weekend, has this been quite a journey to this point?
We finish the Road to Principality in the stadium for a very special women's rugby event. We've got the Wales-Italy Six Nations game being played on the hallowed turf. And around that, we've got the Women's Bowl Club Final, the Women's Plate Cup Final, and finally, the Women's Cup final at 7:35. So what a celebration of women's rugby we're going to have that day. Hopefully, there's going to be a big crowd for the Women's International, and then that will trip over into watching the cream of Welsh Women's Club rugby thereafter. So what a great way to finish what's been a very hectic 10 or 12 days of 30-plus finals.
And two more weekends to go for the Road to the Principality. Plenty more excitement to come. But from this week's Welsh Rugby Union podcast, goodbye.